This is Pastor Harvey with the Bible Hour broadcast. So good to have you with us again today. We pray that the Spirit of God will bless you through the Word of God as we look into the pages of the book of Romans, going into the second chapter. We're going verse by verse through the Bible. We trust that you'll just tune in for the next 15 minutes and let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Get your Bible down. We hope you have an old King James Version of the Bible available. That's the Bible we promote. And we've called our program the Bible Hour. What better name could we give? What better book could we study than the precious Word of God? And we have an offer number two that we're making available to our listening audience, and it's a Zondervan Bible Limp, and it's the Limp edition, not the hardback now. It's a nice, handy-sized Bible. It's the Old Testament and New Testament red-letter edition with maps and many other helps in the Bible. Getting your Christmas time, and we hope you'll be thinking about getting some of these for your friends, for your relatives, maybe for yourself. If you don't have a good Bible, we encourage you to get this nice Bible as a help to you. You need a good Bible. If you're going to be a Christian, serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you sure need to have a Bible available that you can take to church with you and you can study in your home. This is a very nice one. It's worth, I'm sure, between $15 to $22, $28. We've priced them somewhere around $20 in the store, and we're going to offer this for $10 to those that would like to have one. It's less than what we paid for it, and we just want you to have this nice Zondervan King James Version of the Bible. Also, we have two streams of the Bible, a sketch by Roland C. Starr, which is tells us where we got the King James Version of the Bible from and where the corrupt manuscripts came in and all these new translations have come from since the turn of the century. Everyone seems to say, well, what about this Bible? What about this translation? What about this one? Well, this sketch will clearly prove to you if you want to be open-minded about it. Now, some people have already closed their mind. They say, nobody can tell me what to do. Well, we won't be able to help you. But if you have an open mind about this, about where the Bibles came from, what manuscripts they're taken from, we hope you'll write in. That will send you free of charge, this two streams of the Bible, the sketch. Just say, we like the sketch. But if you like the Bibles, send for offer number two. We'll send you the brown, limp, nice Zondervan Bible and the sketch free of charge. We trust you'll write for them today. Write to the Bible Hour, Post Office Box 2, Yetsville, New York, zip code 14068. That address again, just say offer number two or else say the sketch if you just want the sketch. And it says here, and it's the Bible Hour, Post Office Box 2, Yetsville, New York, zip code 14068. Now let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank You that it's the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that saved our soul one day, our unworthy soul. How unworthy we are to be on the radio to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh God, we're so unworthy of You even saving us, reaching down and redeeming us out of sin. But how we thank Thee for that. How we thank You for the many over the listening audience out in the area of the radio, Father, that are born again. And then there are some without the Savior, I'm sure, listening in. Oh, speak to their hearts today. May this be the glad day that they repent of sin and turn to Jesus. Trust the blood and not works for salvation. Not their works, but the works of Christ, the works on Calvary. And may they trust Him and Him alone. Save sinners. Bless the Word now as we look into the pages of Thy book. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're in chapter 2, verse number 1. Turn there with us. Chapter 2 of Romans, verse number 1. It says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. Now, this is speaking in the second verse here about the judgment of God. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. Now he says, therefore, in verse 1, as I say in our church, if there's a therefore in the Bible, look and see what it's there for. You say, well, that sounds kind of strange. Well, that's what we ought to do. Therefore is a conclusion of what was said previously. It says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. He's speaking to the heathens, those outside of Christ, to Jew and Gentile. He's trying to prove without any any variation at all, that all men are sinners before a holy God. Not just the dog Gentiles, not just those that are outside of the Jewish economy, but that all are under sin, that all need to be saved by faith, all need to be justified by faith without the deeds of the law or without their own works. It's by faith that we're saved, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Salvation is by faith in Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Works come after salvation. Works are to no avail until the blood has been applied, until our faith has turned to Calvary, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no salvation apart from him. We have so many saying today, well, what about the heathen? The Bible says the heathen are lost until they trust Jesus. If you, as an American, need to, or a Canadian, or some other one that might be listening in, if you are unsaved, you need to come the same way. It doesn't make any difference whether we're in a Christianized country or we're in a heathen country. If you have to trust the blood of Jesus Christ to be saved, if you have to repent of sin, if you have to, by faith, trust Christ and trust his grace to save you, not your works, then the heathen surely need to. For we have the gospel, but all are accountable. I believe the worst heathen in Africa, that they, if they cry out to God in their heart, God will send a missionary. God will send the word. God is not unjust to condemn the wicked. They condemn themselves because the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And so the Apostle Paul is trying to show the whole world through this book of Romans that all are guilty, all are condemned, all are receiving their just deserts if they go to hell. And thank be unto God, we don't have to go, though. Thank God, salvation's free for all. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. But, you know, we are all inexcusable. We've all sinned. You say, well, I'm not so bad. I'm not as bad as a drunk down the road. No, but we're all sinners. We might not sin alike, but we're all alike sinners. We're no good until Jesus comes in and washes us in his precious blood. Have you been redeemed? As the song goes, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, by faith, and that's the only way we'll trust and know Christ. And then it says here, thou judgest, condemnest thyself, for thou what? That judgest, doest the same things. Now, if we didn't do the same things, a lot of people say, well, you ought never to say this man's right, or this is right, or this is wrong. You're not to judge. The Bible says, judge not that you be not judged, but then it says later, but judge righteous judgment. We must judge all things. We judge a tree by its fruit. If there's no fruit on it, we don't want to go picking fruit, that's for sure. And so we judge a man's life by the fruit he bears, by the love he shows, by the concern, by his going to a good Bible preaching church faithfully, and by his giving, and by his going and being kind to his neighbors, and praying for others, and by his love for the Savior. That's how we judge a man. We don't judge him and do the same things, for then we are in the same condemnation. But it says here, for thou that judgest doest the same things. We can judge. We can judge. Sure we can. But we're not to judge if we're doing the same things they are. How can we make any kind of sensible judgment? There's one who will be the judge in the last day. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the great judge. We'll stand before him one day and give an account. And then it says in the next verse, verse 2, it says, but we are sure that the what? The judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. He's talking about these abominable things over here in the first chapter that we enumerated earlier, debate and deceit and murder and envy and malignity and maliciousness and covetousness and wickedness and fornication and unrighteousness and having a reprobate mind and inventors of evil things and disobedient to parents and without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. And then he says, who knowing the judgment of God? There's a judgment day coming. Some would laugh at the judgment, but when they stand before God, they'll not judge. We will not, as Christians, nor will those who are outside of the ark of safety, will not be able to thwart the will of God. It will take place. There's a judgment coming. Christians are going to stand before a judgment as well. Some say, oh, there's no judgment for Christians. You're reading the wrong book. The Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll all be judged by the great Christ of Calvary and by the very word of God that's been given to us. Then verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Three times in the first and second chapter, he mentions the judgment of God, the judgment of God. There's a judgment day coming. He says, we're not going to escape. No, we're all going to be judged. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? A lot of people say, well, you know why people get saved? They get in a car wreck and they have some catastrophe happen. That's not always so. Some people get harder when they have sickness. Some people get harder when they get in a wreck. Some people say, oh, why did God let this happen to me? But the Bible says here, not knowing what? That the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Hasn't God been good? I got saved because I realized how rotten I was and how good God was in providing Jesus, my blood sacrifice, my offering for my sin. I couldn't pay for my own sin, but Jesus paid it all. And oh, when I saw him dying for me, when I saw myself a sinner, and I saw that the gospel was the only way out and Christ was the only answer to this wicked soul of mine, then I repented. I turned to Christ and I was genuinely born again of the Spirit of God. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Isn't it good to know your sins are gone? Oh, I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that washed me one day when I was 16 years old. Now I'm 33 years old. 34, pardon me. Oh, I'm getting older than I realize. I'm 34. But oh, I'm so glad that 17 years ago, Jesus saved me. Jesus washed me in his precious blood. And then he gave me a beautiful wife, gave me four beautiful children, one more on the way. Oh, God is so good. How blessed he is to us. How blessed he is. He's so good. How we need to thank him. It's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. And we need to repent. It speaks about repentance. A lot of churches teach easy believism. Just bow your head and just say some little simple remedy prayer and you're saved. Not so. The Bible says you must repent. You must be born of the Spirit of God supernaturally when God comes upon the scene. And when he redeems us and puts us into his family by faith, then we're saved. And not until then. We can say all the little ditties and prayers we want to until our heart is changed and our life has a transformation. There is no salvation outside of repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust you've repented and trusted Christ. And then, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and grace. Then in verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up for thyself wrath against the day of wrath and of the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God shall righteously and purely and without anything wrong in it, he will forever throw people into an infernal hell fire that'll burn forever and ever. You say, Brother Harvey, surely an uneducated man like you wouldn't believe in a place of hell where God would send people to burn forever and ever and ever and never be consumed. I believe the Word of God above any man's teaching. The Word of God says there's a hell to be shunned and a heaven to gain, and Jesus preached more about hell fire than he ever did about heaven. Oh, we better preach it. The Bible says there is a judgment day coming. I trust you'll repent and turn to Jesus. Oh, he loves you. He died on Calvary, for God so loved the world. For God so loved you, put your name in there, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you haven't trust him today. Bow your head and by faith repent and ask Jesus Christ to save your unworthy soul. He'll do it if you'll trust him and repent of sin. And then write to us. We'll send you some free literature if you've trusted him. The Bible Hour. Write to the Bible Hour, Post Office Box 2, Gettysville, New York. Zip code 14068. And now may God bless you. And we just pray that you'll be faithful to the Lord, the Bible, your God-given convictions, and a good Bible-preaching church. May God bless you is our prayer.